Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute, Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. On this ID the Future podcast, we'll be discussing Banned Book Week and nominating Dr. Robert Mark's Evolutionary Informatics website as the banned item of the year. Last year, Discovery Institute's John West nominated the book of Pandas and People as banned book of the year after the ACLU tried to have it banned from Dover science classrooms. Well, we are once again celebrating Banned Books Week, and it is fitting to note that Baylor University itself is also observing Banned Books Week. Baylor's Banned Books Week events page states, quote, "What do the authors Harper Lee, F. Scott Fitzgerald, John Steinbeck, and J.K. Rowling have in common? They have all written books that were challenged and banned by libraries in the United States," unquote. Although his work in question here is obviously not a book, Dr. Robert Marks also has something in common with these authors. Someone has banned his ideas. As we have previously discussed on the ID of the Future podcast, a Baylor administrator originally ordered Dr. Marks to, quote, "disconnect this website immediately," unquote, because the administrator had, quote, "received several concerned messages this week about an interview and website dealing with evolutionary computing associated ID," unquote. Of course, that interview was an ID the Future podcast interview back in July, where Dr. Marks apparently committed the thought crime of discussing his research that challenges Darwinian evolution that he had posted on his website. Dr. Marks' website discussing his research that challenges Darwinian evolution was then banned from Baylor Webspace and taken down without his knowledge or permission, and Baylor has yet to restore the website to its server. Thus, I would like to nominate Dr. Robert Marks' Evolutionary Informatics website as the banned item of the year for 2007. Unfortunately, there is a severe credibility gap going on here with Baylor University, as it has denied that Dr. Marks' situation has anything to do with intelligent design. The Waco Tribune reported a few weeks ago that, quote, "Baylor Vice President for Marketing and Communications John Berry denied that the matter has been drawn out because the content is related to intelligent design," unquote. Does Baylor University actually expect us to believe that this has nothing to do with ID? As I just discussed, quotes from the original email sent from Baylor University Administrator Dean Kelly to Dr. Marks explicitly stated that people were complaining about the website precisely because it dealt with ID. It was this email that preluded Baylor's removal of Marks' website without his knowledge or permission. Baylor, of course, provides the usual pretext that they are treating Dr. Marks like they would any other faculty. This makes it important to dispel Baylor's pretext for persecuting Dr. Marks on the grounds that he has done something wrong. Dr. Marks is an innocent party. He was simply doing his own research, much like any other faculty might do, and he discussed it on a website under the university's webspace. After Dr. Marks made the mistake of talking about his research on an ID the Future podcast interview, some anti-ID forces at Baylor University complained, and Baylor administrators sent Dr. Marks the threatening email I just mentioned and even took the website offline without his knowledge or permission. At a meeting between Baylor and Dr. Marks and his attorney John Gilmore, some Baylor administrators apparently said the website could go back online if Dr. Marks would place a disclaimer on the website stating the website was not officially affiliated with Baylor. In fact, Dr. Marks agreed to do that, but then Baylor administrators reneged on that earlier agreement by not putting the website back up and adding additional requirements upon Marks. As World Magazine reported, these new requirements included: delete the title "The Evolutionary Informatics Lab" from the top of every page, delete the name and email address of a Baylor graduate student assisting Marks with his research, post at the bottom of every page and at the top of the homepage a 108-word public relations statement denying any institutional support for the research and extolling Baylor's commitment to academic freedom. Marks even agreed to some of these requirements, but others he felt were over the top and he could not agree to them because they would trample his own academic freedom. Robert Marks has done nothing wrong here. He's simply a researcher doing research and discussing that research publicly on his university website. The American Association of University Professors' statement on academic freedom plainly supports his right to do what he has done. This statement reads, quote, "Freedom in research is fundamental to the advancement of truth. Academic freedom in its teaching and aspect is fundamental to the protection of the rights of the teacher in teaching and of the student in freedom of learning. It carries with it duties correlative with rights. Teachers are entitled to full freedom in research and in the publication of the results, subject to the adequate performance of their other academic duties." As Dr. Marks' attorney John Gilmore stated, quote, "Baylor has an obligation to defend Bob Marks' position. Unfortunately, they have been taking the position of his persecutors. It's viewpoint discrimination," unquote. While Baylor University is a private entity and not subject to First Amendment law regarding viewpoint discrimination, it's clear that Dr. Marks is being singled out due to his views on ID. One might assert that the Baylor administration is merely exercising its right to defend its reputation, but again, that appears to be just a pretext for persecuting people, for one could justify any amount of viewpoint discrimination on the grounds that one is just defending their own reputation. The only crime committed by Dr. Marx was the thought crime of questioning Darwin. When we balance the university's right to defend its reputation against a tenured scientist's, quote, entitlement to full freedom in research and in the publication of the results, subject to the adequate performance of his other academic duties, unquote, there is no contest. Robert Marx's academic freedom to question Darwin should win out, unless we are to make a mockery of the meaning of academic freedom. But no one here is reporting about Baylor University issuing any of the requirements they are demanding of Dr. Marx upon scientists with other viewpoints. It's obvious why the Baylor administration is attacking Robert Marx. He's a Darwin skeptic, and some people at Baylor University don't take kindly to Darwin skeptics being on their campus. To return to Banned Books Week, Banned Books Week is supposed to be a celebration of tolerance and diversity. So in that spirit, it seems fitting to discuss some of the research papers that Dr. Marx had formerly posted on his Baylor Evolutionary Informatics Lab website. The first paper is by William Dembski and Robert J. Marx and is titled, quote, Conservation of Information in Search, Measuring the Cost of Success, unquote. As the abstract explains, quote, conservation of information theorems indicate that any search algorithm performs, on average, as well as a random search without replacement unless it takes advantage of problem-specific information about the search target or the search space structure. Combinatorics shows that even a moderately sized search requires search-specific information to be successful. Three measures to characterize the information required for a successful search are 1. Endogenous information, which measures the difficulty of finding a target using random search. 2. Exogenous information, which measures the difficulty that remains in finding a target once a search takes advantage of the problem-specific information. And 3. Active information, which, as the difference between endogenous and exogenous information, measures the contribution of the problem-specific information for successfully finding a target. This paper develops a methodology based on these information measures to gauge the effectiveness with which problem-specific information facilitates a successful search. It then applies this methodology to various search tools widely used in evolutionary search, unquote. The second paper produced by the research at the formerly Baylor Evolutionary Informatics Lab is also by Dembski and Marx and is titled, quote, Active Information in Evolutionary Search, unquote. The abstract states, quote, in his critique of intelligent design, Hagstrom claims that the no-free-lunch theorem, properly understood, poses no obstacle to biological evolution. He therefore rejects claims to the contrary. To prove his point, Hagstrom cites several examples of evolutionary optimization, and his examples prove the opposite. As he admits, quote, in almost all concrete optimization problems, we have some prior information, unquote. Far from showing that the no-free-lunch theorem places no restrictions on evolution, Hagstrom's examples show that the success of evolutionary searches depends on prior information concerning target location and search-based structure. Consistent with the no-free-lunch theorem, this prior information, now increasingly referred to as active information, is always external to the search and thus never a free lunch, unquote. This research was formerly hosted on Dr. Marx's webspace at Baylor University. Try clicking on the link that goes to that page now, and what you'll get is a page that says, quote, page unavailable. It seems that it was too much for Baylor University to allow this research to be hosted under its webspace. It's been well over a month now, and the webspace still hasn't gone back up. RIP Baylor Evolutionary Informatics Lab. Let's hope that Dr. Marx's Evolutionary Informatics website will not be banned from Baylor University's webspace forever. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.